السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, we are still discussing that hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that my Rabb gave me specific instructions or ordered me with regards to 9 things. I must fear Allah in secrecy and in public. Whether it's khalwat or jalwat, I must fear my Allah. I must only say that which is just, which is the truth, which is haq, which is fair, whether I am pleased or I am unhappy. I'm giving you an explanation. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb ordered me that I must adopt moderation under all conditions, whether it is a condition of poverty or condition of affluence, but I must not go on to any extreme. I must remain moderate. Even if the family members break the ties, I must maintain the ties. If I have been deprived of rights, I must still fulfill the rights. If injustice has been done to me, I must forgive. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has been given these instructions. Whenever I say something, when I speak, then my speech must be zikrullah. And if I am silent, then my silence must be meditation and contemplation, and I must invite towards good. Now this is the hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which we have been discussing for some time, and I think we have come to the 6th or 7th point. But again, it comes to mind that the first point, must fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whether we are in public or whether we are in private, it is such an important point that we just can't help, whenever we are making a person read the kalima and enter into the fold of Islam, but to say to that person that, brother, please don't look at the actions of the Muslims. Islam, you will find these days in the books, you will find it in the Quran Sharif, you will find it in the Hadith Sharif, you will find it in Islamic literature, and nowadays you will find it plentiful even on the frames which decorate our walls. But you won't find that Islam very much in the lives of Muslims who profess to be Muslims. Now this is a very sad state of affairs, and I'm telling you with very deep-hearted pain that it is something that we have to repeat, and it is not a healthy thing. We would like to say that what you see in the books, you will find in the life of a Muslim. But how can we say that when that person tells you very clearly that, my Muslim friends, I used to go with them to the casinos, the fraudulent dealings, Muslims were part of it. Adultery and fornication, we have been out together. And these are not fairy tales, as I always repeat. These are true incidents. This morning also a European brother converted, accepted Islam. But the same problem, that we have to tell them that you will find Islam in the books. If only this first point, we can take a serious lesson from it, not just listen, listen and listen, then it will change our lives and it will make it very easy for us to invite others into the fold of Islam. Somebody can just go and tell those children to stop making a noise there. So if only we take a lesson, this first point, because when does a person commit sins? He commits sins when he thinks that nobody is watching. There are many reasons, but one is that nobody is watching. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرُصَادِ. When a person is targeting an animal, when he's a hunter is targeting an animal, and just before he fires the bullet, or even if it's not an animal, guns are so freely available these days, so when a person is targeting human beings, then just when he is about to fire the bullet, how he focuses his sight on that hunt. Person has got, he is seeing the lion, he is seeing the animal, the buck or whatever he is targeting, and now just before he is firing the bullet, he focuses his eyes and he looks at that animal very, very closely through his binoculars or whatever he may have. So labil mirsad, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is looking at every individual like that. Every individual Allah ta'ala is looking like that. Allah ta'ala doesn't have eyes like human eyes. It means his sight, which is his sifat. That there, that person has to really focus himself. It is a planning, it is an effort. And then too, he can still miss. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is focusing his sight on every individual like that. And this is a Quranic verse, إِنَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ. Now just imagine if a Muslim has to have that kind of yaqeen at heart, that my Allah, his sight is on me like that, and if he wishes, then that hunter can make a mistake, his bullet can go into a different direction. But if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala decides there and then, that this person who is indulging in this sin, I must seize him now, then what is the bullet of that person who is hunting? The person who is hunting, his bullet can miss the target. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is just his irada, just his decision, just his will, and the destruction is upon not only that individual, but if Allah ta'ala decides that this whole city now should be destroyed, then people of the city are destroyed within seconds, within seconds. So a person normally commits sins, and when we are talking about sins, we are not talking only about zina, only about drinking, only about gambling. Whatever the Quran and the Hadith declares as sinful, whatever Quran and Hadith declares as haram, when this person is committing that sin, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is seeing him like that. And then read the verses of the Quran Sharif and see what Allah ta'ala then does. But it is the sifat of Allah that he is Haleem, that he does not punish straight away. He does not seize immediately. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala in his time, a person was arrested for theft. So he told Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala that this is the first time this happened. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, it is not the habit of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to seize a person the very first time that he indulges in some sin. When investigations were made, it was found out that this person had committed thefts prior to that too. So Allah ta'ala gives a little bit of rope, he gives a little bit of time. He is Haleem. But we should not think that we have escaped the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore, the first thing that makes a person sin is that nobody is watching. All the criminals, this is what they think, that nobody is watching. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb ordered that I must fear him whether I am in my secrecy or whether it is in public. Then the second thing that makes a person sin is that that person believes that it has not been recorded. Nothing has been recorded. If the person was in those days that there was apartheid here, and there were unjust laws, and where the ANC and other organizations were banned, now at that time they used to always look around if they had to make a political speech, or they had to incite people to violence, or plan marches or protests, or bomb some building, then they were always careful that there was nobody there with a tape recorder. We always believe that nobody must be around with a tape recorder, because what we are going to say, it could become a public document later. So we believe that nothing is recorded. That is why we sin. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran Sharif, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. No, in another ayat Allah Ta'ala says, كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. These honorable scribes, everything that you do, they know, and they write it down. Everything is recorded, and it will bear testimony against that person on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, these four things will bear testimony. One is the earth on which the person walks. The earth on which he walks, it will give testimony, it will give evidence. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. The surah Zilzal, it shakes the heart of a person if he only reads it with understanding. Allah Ta'ala says, when the earth will be shaken to its utmost convulsions. We read a little bit about the earthquakes and we see what happens when the earth shakes. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah when Allah Ta'ala will shake the whole earth. Who can survive? But I'm not going into the details of surah Zilzal, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says there that this earth also, it will relate everything. The earth will say who walked on me and what he did. And this is nothing to be doubted in these days of modern science. When modern science can make our dashboard speak, they can even make our shoelaces speak. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, more than 1400 years ago, he said a time will come when the shoelace of a person will speak. At that time, people could not understand this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that how can the shoelace of a person give evidence and testimony and speak. Wow. But with the modern technology where everything is speaking, it is not difficult to understand. What is the tape? The tape, what is it? Is it a human being? But whatever we speak, it's recorded and then it speaks. Switch it on and it speaks. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, the earth too, it will relate everything. Everything it will state. It will bear testimony against the person. The body of the person, every part of his body is going to speak. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. We will seal the lips. Allah Ta'ala says we will seal the lips. Because these lips, they speak a lot of lies. The tongue speaks a lot of lies. They can go to a court and they can speak a lot of lies and get away. So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will seal the lips, so that the tongue will not be given the opportunity of speech anymore. And what is going to then speak? The hands of the person, the feet of the person, the eyes of the person. Each and everything will give testimony and evidence against this person. And this person will say, Lema antaqa alayna. Why are you giving evidence against me? It was for your pleasure that I was doing all these things. Oh, my hands, now you giving testimony against me. It was for your pleasure that I committed fraud. I was signing that check fraudulently for your comfort. Oh, my eyes, why are you giving evidence against me? I was doing everything for your pleasure, because you wanted to see all those filthy things on the television screen and on the cinema screens, and you wanted to stare and at all the women that were passing who were beautiful and pretty, casting lustful glances. Everything I was doing for your pleasure, and now today you are giving evidence against me. Every part of the body, when it is going to testify, then this is what the person will say, that why are you giving testimony against me? It is just like two friends. All the secrets the person told to the friend, and now this friend whom he trusted very dearly, and he said he is very close and very near to me, and he is the only one that I can trust with my secrets. Now when this friend has to go and tell the receiver of revenue that all the uplang money is in the mattress in a certain room, so what will he tell this friend? He'll say that you gave evidence against me. I trusted you so much. So this person will say that I trusted you so much, and I did everything for your pleasure, and now you are the one that is giving evidence against me. So what will the parts of the body say? أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Who is making us give this speech? There is no strength and power in the hands to give any speech, or the feet to give any speech, or to eyes to give any evidence. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who in this world gave that power of speech to the tongue, he says that is that same Allah who has given us now the power of speech to give evidence against you. So where are we going to escape? Why I am repeating these things is that this is our problem, that we do not want to give up sins. We find it difficult. But if only we believe that there is a day of judgment, there is a day of judgment, on which day these things are going to give evidence, then it will make us restrain ourselves. It will make us restrain ourselves from haram. So these things will give evidence against us. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala therefore orders Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he must fear Allah, whether he is in his private life or whether it is in his public life. Now if only we can take these two things, then there is no further problem. But nevertheless, without going further, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then mentioned the other things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered him. But I want to get now to that point that we were discussing, which was that my speech must be zikrullah. That my speech must be nothing but zikrullah. That whatever I do, and therefore Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every minute of his life was zikrullah. So we do not understand that how can every minute of his life be zikrullah, because there was preparation of jihad, there were marriages that he was undertaking, he was upbringing his children, he was educating the people, he was calling them into the deen of Islam, and then teaching them. Whole day Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was busy, he was occupied, he had so much of things to do. And then again, he had to eat also, he had to drink, he had to go to the toilet. So how can he be making zikrullah all the time? So it is simple to understand that everything that he did, it was according to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's instructions. It was for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So whether he was reading subhanallah, alhamdulillah, or whether he was conducting his business, or whether Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was visiting the toilet, or whether Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was marrying, or whether he was preparing for jihad, or whether he was leading the salat, or whether he was delivering the khutbah, whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did, it was for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, in accordance with Allah Ta'ala's will. Now that is all that is required. That we have to find out what Allah Ta'ala expects of us in this particular situation. Sometimes a person does not read one tasbih the whole day, but he can be in zikrullah all the time. He can be in zikrullah the whole day without reading one tasbih. And another person can be reading tasbih the whole day, but he is not in zikrullah, because he is disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala all the time, so he is not in zikrullah. If a person says that I remember, I make zikr, means remembrance, so I remember my friend very much, but neither does he write a letter to that friend, nor does he reply if the friend has written a letter, nor does he phone and make salam sometimes, nor does he go and visit him, nothing. But he says, I remember him very much. So what kind of remembrance is that? So in the same way, the person who says, I'm remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but he is disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala all the time, then what kind of remembrance is that? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that my speech, Allah ta'ala ordered, must be nothing but zikrullah. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that Your sight must be a sight of ibrat. That is the next point that we come to. That my Allah Ta'ala ordered me that my sight, my gaze, must be a gaze of ibrat. Whichever direction I look, I must be taking a lesson. There must be a gaze of ibrat. And at present there is no shortage of things that are happening from which we can take ibrat. Is there any shortage in our own country and outside? To take ibrat, there is no shortage. Every day we read in the newspapers, so many people shot, so many people died after they were hijacked, so many people in an earthquake, they disappeared from the surface of the earth, so many people in flood waters, they were destroyed. Now what shortage is there of incidents from which we can take lesson, from which we can take ibrat? There's no shortage of it, but it is for those people who want to take a lesson. For those who do not want to take a lesson, even if you have to give them volumes, it means nothing. So ibrat is something that is very important in the life of a person, to take lessons from what is happening around. One Buzrug was asked that, how did you become so pious and so righteous? He said that everything, or how did you become so intelligent? He says, I gave up all those things which stupids and fools did. He says, I learned from the fools that whatever mistakes fools made, then I restrained myself from those actions. And that is how I became intelligent. So he was taking ibrat even from fools. So the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb ordered me that my sight must be a sight of ibrat. Now in the mornings when we are leaving our homes, now when we will go back to our homes inshallah, in all conditions there must be ibrat. That we don't know what is going to happen the next minute. We don't know what's going to happen the next day. Therefore we always say inshallah. When we say I'm going to do this tomorrow, we say inshallah. The Ahlullah, meaning the friends of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, sometimes they don't mention inshallah, so we should not get very excited. Because their life is total submission to the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Sometimes in words they don't say it, but there is nothing that they believe is going to happen without the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But for us, being the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we have to say inshallah. Why? Because we do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. Whether we will be able to see the fruits of our plans. Whether we will be able to realize our ambitions. We don't know at all. Seconds, just within seconds, what's going to happen, we don't know. Nobody knows. Whilst we are sitting here, we just don't know what is happening at our homes, what's happening in the bazaars, what's happening in the marketplace, what's happening to our shops, what's happening to our children, what's happening to our grandchildren, what's happening to our family members. Nothing, nobody knows. Within seconds we hear that suddenly this happened, suddenly that happened. Last Friday, I was in Dundee, and there suddenly I was informed that a brother and his wife and his two children, they were rushing to make it to Dundee for the Jummah Salat. Alhamdulillah, they got a Mubarak Maut on a Jummah day, and again the intention too was to make it for the Jummah Salat, and he was a Hafiz of the Quran Sharif too. What a Mubarak Shahadat. But the point is that we must take lesson from it. There must be ibrat in it, that here is a person that he's chasing, he's rushing, he's trying to make it for Jummah at Dundee where his parents were residing. And the parents were expecting, they had prepared the meals and they were expecting the person to arrive. But instead four janazas arrived.
Allah.
Four janazas arrived.
Allah.
Not an easy thing. So ibrat. Take lessons from what is happening. What do we know? What's going to happen the next minute? Now imagine the person is tempted that I want to go to the cinema. I want to go to the casino. Now he's got the chip in his hand. And before he dishes out the chip, Malikul Maut takes him away. Or there is a shake up there, there's a tremor there, or there's gale force winds, and if some destruction comes there, then what? On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will say, I gave you a life. Where did you sacrifice that life? Somebody will say, that sacrifice I made for that woman with whom I had illicit relationship, that's where I gave my life. Somebody will say, in the casino I gave my life. Somebody will say, I gave my life in some other haram. So enjoy the good food if Allah Ta'ala is providing, wear good clothes, travel in good cars. Nobody is saying it is haram if it is earned in a halal way and there's no extravagance. But these places and these actions and deeds which are displeasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there has to be some power that must restrain us. And there is no other power except that we believe that my Allah is watching, my Allah is hearing, my Allah knows, and my life is in His hands. And if He decides to seize me, then nobody can save me. So why not live a life which is pleasing to Him, and then when I die, there is no fear. There must be no fear in the heart. As Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, agar kisi ko maut se ghabrahat ho, if somebody is fearing to talk about death, maut se unko vahshat hoti hai, he gets a fear to talk about death also. To phir zindagi ki baat karo, ki is zindagi ke baad ek dusri zindagi hai. Then talk about life. If you don't want to talk about death, then talk about life.
Wow.
That after this life, there is another life. A beautiful life in Jannat, where the person is going to enjoy all the ni'mats. Everlasting life. So don't talk about death, talk about life. It is just like that person came to, one king had a dream that all his teeth fell off. So he sent the person to go and find out the interpretation. So that person gave the correct interpretation that Badshah Salamat, all your family members are going to die. So he said, if they all are going to die, why leave this person who gave the interpretation? So take his neck off too. He was very disturbed, so he took his neck off too. Then he sent for interpretation to another person. Now that person already knew what happened to the first one, but he could not give a wrong interpretation. He was a pious person. So he said, Badshah Salamat, what a beautiful dream you had, that you are going to live the longest. Of all your family members, you will be blessed with the longest life. So he got very happy and gave him some gifts. But what he said was no different to what the first one said. Same thing he said. So if you do not like death, then talk about life. That after this life, there's another life. Beautiful life. Why are we so frightened? We are frightened and we are scared and because of two things. One is our love for this world. We are not talking about making use of the ni'mats. Hubbud dunya. The love of this world. That our homes, we believe that now these homes, we must never ever leave. We must stay here all the time. Our beautiful cars, we must never ever leave. Our gold and silver, we must not part with it. So that is something impossible. The person will have to leave and go. But if all the time he is looking ahead, that one day I have to go, so I must make use of it according to Allah Ta'ala's will, but don't put my heart to it, don't give my heart to it, then there is no problem. Then the person will look forward to meeting his Mawla, to meeting his Rabbah. For whom are we making namazes? For whom are we making zikr and tilawat? For whom are we restraining ourselves from haram? So don't we have that desire in our hearts that Allah for whom we are doing all this, we want to see Him. And where else can we see Him except in Jannat? So the person will look forward to going into Jannat. We are asked to make dua for long life so that we may be able to accumulate maximum amount of good deeds. That is the reason. But we have to go. So ibrat, that take a lesson from whatever is happening around, take a lesson. And as I just mentioned, that is the reason why we say inshallah. A person was going to buy a horse. Somebody asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to buy a horse. He said, well, say inshallah. He said, why must I say inshallah? I've got money in my pocket. That person is selling horses there. So what must I say inshallah for? When I go, I've got money, I'm going to buy the horse. The market is full with horses. On the way, his pocket was cut, clean sliced. Now the money was over. So he was returning very sad. Now he meets the same person again. He says, what happened to the horse that you were going to buy? He says, Inshallah, I left home with some money in my pocket. Inshallah, I met you on the way. Inshallah, you asked me where I'm going. Inshallah, I told you I'm going to buy the horse. But Inshallah, somebody cut my pocket. So now he said, Inshallah, a dozen times in the wrong places. Whereas he was not prepared to say Inshallah in the correct place one time. Now in all the wrong places he's saying Inshallah. So we don't know what is going to happen. We do not know in which state we will be when our death is going to come. Therefore, I am repeating this, that fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of him not fearing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There was no question of it. There was no doubt about it. It is for us that if the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can be told this, then what about us? So the temptation will come. It will come. I'm repeatedly mentioning this, that it will come. But don't bring it purposely. Don't bring it purposely. In fact, when we are talking about secret amal, then in the secret amal, it's also fantasizing. That our mind, it will keep on working. Without any battery, it keeps on working. It will go to different heights and different places. In fact, the spaceship cannot travel as fast as our minds can travel. Look at Allah Ta'ala's qudrat. I mean, the spaceship, first there has to be so much of fuel in it, and there's so millions or billions are spent in making it, and after that there has to be so much of computers and everything controlling it, then it will go. And that too, so many times they say that it was taking off and it failed. But we haven't heard of the imagination of a person failing. The person, when he's using his imagination, then it travels very, very fast. Very, very fast. You can go right up to the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You can go right into Jannat. If you know all the ayats of Jannat and what Allah ta'ala has got in there, you can go there within seconds. You can be traveling in Jannat. And within seconds, you can be traveling in Jahannam. That is the kind of mind that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us. Where are we looking into science all the time? Make use of science. Nobody says it's haram. But look at this. Qudrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that we are sitting here and within seconds where our mind can go. So this great ni'mat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us, then we must believe that Allah ta'ala, his sight is even on that imagination of ours. That power that he has given us is not that Allah ta'ala is not aware of that. That is our secret. That's our secret amal. Allah ta'ala is even aware of that. So therefore, even when the mind is wandering to haram, then straight away occupy the mind in something that is permissible. Whatever is halal and permissible, occupy the mind. Because the mind cannot give equal concentration to two things at the same time. So immediately occupy it in something. One Buzrug was walking and a person was sitting, doing nothing. So he didn't make salam to him. After a little while, when he was returning, this person had a matchstick in his hand and he was scratching on the ground. So he made salam. So this person asked him, he said, when you went past here, you didn't make salam. And now when you came back, you made salam. What is the hikmat in that? Isme raaz kya hai? So he said, the hikmat is this, that when I went past, you were doing nothing. So your mind is a devil's workshop. You must have been thinking of so many things which were haram. But now you were at least doing something, even though useless, but at least you were doing something. You occupied yourself in something. So the lesson he gave is that occupy yourself. This is our problem today, that we say we get bored. We get bored because we don't occupy ourselves. There's so many things to do which are halal, which are permissible, which are refreshing, which are enjoyable, which are relaxing. There's so many halal kinds of entertainment. Then what is the need to go towards haram? And the emphasis is on this now, because we are coming very close to the so-called millennium celebrations. And people are just planning, as if to say that they are going to escape Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's might and power. And all our plans, whatever we have got, will be very fruitful. But just look at what is happening. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb ordered me that my sight must be a sight of ibrat. It must be a sight of ibrat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat is on those people who do good deeds. We say Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Inna Allaha qareebun minal muhsineen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is qareeb. But for whom? For those who are the muhsineen. So Allah Ta'ala gave us a life. We do not know when it is going to expire. So we must take a lesson from everything that is happening around. And believe me that when we are going to get Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's closeness in our hearts, then there is no question of boredom. The person in fact won't find time. He does not know how people say that they're getting bored. The person won't find time. He'll find enjoyment in every activity of his. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them such enjoyment that if only it had to be revealed, then there will be no question of ghaib then. Then we'll be seeing with our eyes. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala therefore gives it in the heart. I mentioned some, I don't know, in any majlis here, that when these people get Allah Ta'ala's closeness, then outwardly, people can say that they are bored. Because at present, when a person suddenly keeps a nice beard, wears his kurta, he goes to the namaz 5 times a day, and he engages in dini work and activities, and he stays away from the cinemas, theaters, and gambling dens, and all haram, adultery, fornication, etc., then they say that these people are missing out on life. They are missing out. They don't know what they are missing out. In other words, they're saying that this person is a poor person. He doesn't have anything with him. But what I say is that if a person has got millions with him, and the whole world says that you are a poor person, you've got nothing, so what does it matter? Or if a person has got a pretty wife, and he loves his wife, but the whole world says that you have got a very ugly wife, so what does it matter? If he knows that he's got a pretty wife and he loves his wife and she loves him, then if the whole world says that you've got an ugly wife, then what does it matter? So just like that, if the whole world says that you are missing out and you are not enjoying and your life is nothing but boredom and that you are living 1400 years backwards, so they can say what they like. But when this person will have Allah with him, then it is not going to bother him one bit. In fact, he will be laughing at those people who are saying that he is missing out. That is why I always say that those people whom Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq, and they come close to him, and Allah Ta'ala gives them that ecstasy, that joy, that enjoyment, that pleasure, then they should never ever think that they have missed out on anything. They must never ever think that. In fact, they must make shukr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that you saved us from all that filth. They must make plenty of shukr that, Ya Allah, you saved us from that filth. If you did not save us, then we do not know where we would have gone. So keep on making shukr over it. But then restrain yourself from those things that you were indulging in the past. Restrain yourself and don't even put your mind onto those things. Don't play those reels again in your heads and in the newspapers and other things. If these are the things that were catching us and trapping us, then stay far away from it. That company also which leads us to wrong places, then tell them that if you are my friend, then you will take me to right places. If you're taking me to the wrong places, then you are not my friend. Then only there will be steadfastness. Otherwise, very, very cleverly, shaitan draws the person backwards again. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that my Rabb ordered that my nazar must be a nazar of ibrat. Must take lessons, look at what is happening around and take lessons. And at present there is no shortage of incidents from which we can take lessons. There's so many things that are happening. So many things that are happening. If it is in the education field, then we know what is happening at the schools. We hear of so many incidents. A doctor recently informed us of how many young girls of 13, 15, 14 are now coming for abortions. So if you want ibrat, we can take from there. When it comes to businesses, there is no shortage of things that are happening there to take ibrat. And when it comes to crime, then we know what is happening. Those people who are sitting in prisons, they have been sentenced to years of imprisonment. Then take a lesson from that. That why did they go there? What was it that made them reach there? it was the same temptation towards sin. That they thought they were enjoying themselves. They thought that they are going to become rich. They thought that they will be getting entertainment and pleasure. But then suddenly it leads to destruction of their life. So nazar must be nazar of ibrat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, my nazar must be nazar of ibrat. Tonight we will stop here. And the last point inshallah we will discuss next week. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq to make amal.
Ameen.
Because without amal, we are not going to get anywhere. Namazes we make, we are making a little bit of zikr, tilawat, some ibadat, but make a little effort to bring that soul and that ruh into it. Just that little effort. And I don't know how to get it across. I wish there was some other way besides words. That how can we explain this? But people who are experiencing it, they are witnesses to it. And I'm not talking about old people and sick people and weak people. I'm talking about young people, fit, healthy people who were indulging in all kinds of sins, especially zina and cinemas and theaters and gambling and all was their lives. But when they gave it up and they made sincere tawbah and they turned towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and just a few sajdas before Allah, a few tears of repentance, a few tears of nadamat and shame that, oh Allah, we are ashamed of what we did in our past life. But now we want to become your walis. We don't want the earth to testify against us. We don't want our hands and feet and eyes to testify against us. So Allah Ta'ala is so forgiving, so merciful, so kind, so compassionate and so loving that He says no matter how far you may have gone, but if you have decided that you want to come back, then I am willing to accept you. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. Oh my servants. Imagine Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with what love He is addressing the sinners. Oh my servants. Oh my beloved servants. If you have transgressed upon your own souls, then لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't despair of the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah Ta'ala is prepared to forgive all your sins. And when the person decides that no, I want to do it, and it is not difficult, ask all those people who have got rid of those television boxes from their homes. Now they're saying we are finding happiness. We are sitting with the family. We can talk. We can discuss. That filth has left the house. We are seeing barakat. We are seeing barakat. They're actually saying we are seeing barakat now. Ask them. There's so many, and not only here. Wherever we are going and having programs, after that we'll start getting phone calls, letters. People will say that we made sincere tawbah for the first time in our lives. I've got letters in which they're saying sincere tawbah we made for the first time. And yet how many times the person must have made tawbah in his life or her life. The one person actually writes that I felt as if I was all the time in filth. There was stool and urine and all kinds of mess on my body. And it was the first time that I had a bath. It seemed to me like that. That is what they write. It seemed that the first time that I had a bath. And alhamdulillah, after that, they're talking about changes and what enjoyment they are finding now. So there's great enjoyment. There's great enjoyment. It's just the question of making a little effort. First few steps we take, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will draw us with this power of jazm. I conclude on that one incident that the king was on top. And those days they had like a basket kind of thing. That if they want to pull you up, they didn't have these lifts. So they, you get into that basket and they draw you up. So the one Allah wala was going. So from the top, the king dropped the basket. Or we can call it a lift. And he said, get inside. And then they drew him up and he came right up whichever floor it was. Then the king asked him, he said that, how did you reach Allah? I want to know from you, how did you reach Allah? He said, just like how I came up now. That you pulled me up and I came away. He said, that's how Allah Ta'ala with His power of jazm pulled me up. So we must ask Allah Ta'ala to draw us with His power of jazm. Don't think all our actions, we got a lot of effort to make. simple. We take the first few steps and see how Allah Ta'ala then pulls us towards Him. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ ہم نادم ہے, شرمندہ ہے, ہماری ہر خطا کو ہر گناہ کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے معاف فرما. ہم سب کو صحت عافیت عزت سلامتی نصیب فرما, دنیا اور آخرت کی بلائیوں سے ہمیں مالا مال فرما. ربنا آتنا فی الدنیا حسنا وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وانت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد واله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.